Scriptures out with something light. We've had a lot of heavy stuff already this morning. So, there was a man going on vacation with his family, with his wife, his children, and his mother-in-law to Israel. I'm already in trouble, right? It's a husband, wife, his kids, and his mother-in-law. And they went to Israel for vacation. While in Israel, the mother-in-law abruptly and shockingly died. And so the husband's trying to work out arrangements for his mother-in-law's body, being in another country, not being home here in the U.S. And he's on the phone with an Israeli official. And the official says to him, look, sir, you've got two choices. You can pay $5,000 to have your mother-in-law's body transported back to the United States, and then you can make whatever arrangements you want back in the States. Or you can pay $150 and have her buried here in Israel. He said, oh, I'll pay the $5,000 and we'll take her body back. The man was stunned. He says, sir, you must have really loved your mother-in-law. No, but I heard that they buried someone else here in Israel one time, and 3 days later he rose again. I'm not taking any chances. All right. This morning I want to do the last in a series called Sons and Daughters. Bob, be careful with that story. Your mom-in-law is right down the row from you there. And I want to tie together the beginning of mankind with God's purposes for us today in 2017. I want to tie this together in a way that I think touches the heart of God. And I want you to receive the heart of God and open your heart to His priorities, His values, His commission, if you will. In Luke chapter 3, it tells the genealogy of Jesus through Mary, he talks about Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, verse 23 of Luke chapter 3, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of so-and-so, goes on and on. And it says, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, son of so-and-so, on and on and on. Son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. More generations than it comes to Noah, the son of Noah. More generations, and it says Jesus, he's the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. And Adam wasn't the son of God in the same sense that Jesus was, but it refers to him as God's son. God's passion from the beginning that he would have many sons and daughters. But that kind of got all blown out of the water by sin, and God intended to fix it. And so I want to read a couple scriptures from the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 2 says, it was fitting for him, speaking of Jesus, it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. Nothing was made that wasn't made by him. In bringing, here's the phrase I want you to hear, it was fitting for him to bring many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. He suffered things, but the purpose in his suffering things was to bring many sons to glory, to bring many to that place of sonship and daughtership, if you will. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, something happens that the Holy Spirit witnesses with your spirit. You're now a child, a son or daughter of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I think of being in third world countries and experiencing orphanages where there are boys and girls aching to be adopted. You just see this look in their eyes. Would somebody adopt me? And every sense of separation from God the Father has been fixed through what Jesus Christ did. And I just want to give you three quick points this morning. The first point is that God's purpose and passion is sonship. It's the reason he did all of this. His love is so incredible. He longs and enjoys when people will call him dad. That their faith is, the wall of sin's been blown away because of their faith in Christ. They've taken hold of that truth. It's finished. And there's nothing between me and the Father anymore. I have a relationship with my dad in heaven, my heavenly dad. And there's that intimacy. He loves it. But he also loves when we live and walk like sons and daughters. It's not just a position. He wants us to live in a way that sons and daughters of Almighty God live. We'll be talking about how they live. In Luke chapter 15, there's three parables in a row. There's the parable of the lost sheep. There's the parable of the lost coin. And there's a parable of the lost son. But really, that's a parable about two sons. But as we move into the Christmas season, you got to remember, there's a theme in all those parables. The theme is God's intense love for people, for the lost. It says that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So God's purpose is not that we just play church. His purpose is that we be part of that passion that he has to bring many sons to glory, to partner with his desire to reach the lost. That's his purpose. And so we've got to take hold of that value day in and day out. A few weeks ago, Sandy and I, Phyllis and her daughter Kelly, were going out to Youth of the Mission Denver to minister for several days. And as a few days before we left, there was a date when Val had left for the day. There was no one else in the office. It was quiet. And I was longing to get my heart right, get my heart just connected to God before we go out and minister to these 30 young adults from all over the world that were coming together to go after God. So I was in my office, and I got down on the floor, and I'm just praying, and I said, Lord, I was praying, Lord, let your Holy Spirit just clothe us, that we'll move in power, that we'll affect the lives of these young kids. And all of a sudden, this thought comes barreling into my head. What about right now? I said, right now? There's nobody here. Well, I mean, if you want to do something today, I don't know who it would be. And immediately, the face of someone came to my mind who doesn't attend this church. He works for someone who owns buildings all around this community. And I see this man all the time, not all the time, but I see him probably two or three times a week going from one building to another. He's working on different buildings and directing others. And his face came to my mind. And when his face came to my mind, my attention was drawn to his lower jaw. And I thought, well, just, Lord, what do you expect me to do about that? I don't know where he is right now. And then all of a sudden it hit me. He had helped us a couple weeks ago with something here at the church. And I, through those interactions, I had his cell phone number. And during that time that he was helping us, if I shot him a text, he answered real quick. He would always just answer real quick. He was always real attentive, really helpful. So I'm like, okay, this could be really crazy, Lord. If I'm missing you, I'm really going to look stupid. But if you want to do something now, we'll do it now. So I shot him a text, and I said his name, and I said, do you by chance have a severe pain in your lower jaw? No answer. No answer. Time goes by, no answer. I'm thinking, okay, I'm looking really stupid right now. But anyway, so I went on, and all of a sudden, a few minutes later, the front door of the office was locked because everybody else was gone. I just wanted to spend some time with God. The front door is locked. All of a sudden, I hear on the front office of the church. There he is. Now, this is a big, ugly guy. He could crush me with one hand, I'm pretty sure. He's intimidating. But his eyes are this big. And he said, when I got your text, I'm looking all around like, where is he? Did he see me like rubbing my jaw or what? Yeah, for 2 weeks, I've had this intense, excruciating pain in my teeth. I don't have the money to fix it. And so I got to pray with him right there. And see, God is looking at us to be aware that he's with us all the time. And he wants to reach people that are far from God day in and day out. Yeah, there's a family on earth now that's a family of God, but he wants that family to grow. His will is that many sons come to glory. Many. He's still seeking and saving the lost. There are Muslims coming to Christ by the thousands. There are college kids, youth, elderly people coming to the Lord all the time. We're a part of that. And that's the second point, is God's process involves some effort and hardship on our part. He's seeking and saving the lost. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples. In the Old Testament, Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord say, who will go for us? Who shall we send? And he said, send us. Send me. I'll go. Now, evangelism, this process of winning souls to Christ, has become oftentimes so institutionalized, so programmatic, if you will, that it's become cold and we're losing heart of the heart. We're losing touch with the heart of God, is what I want to say. The love of God for people. In the lost shepherd parable, it's somebody going out, leaving 99 to go after the one that's lost. In the lost coin, it's parable. It's a lady who sweeps her whole house because she lost one coin and she's going to find that thing. She exerted effort in that. And church growth programs, thank God for them. Leadership training. It's awesome evangelism strategies. But sometimes they're so focused on demographics and programs that they lose heart of the fact that God the Father wants a family. The Father wants sons and he wants daughters. Is inviting people to church even a part of your lifestyle? Somebody invited me to church one time. I said, no. He invited me again. I said, no. Then they invited me again. And I said, all right, I'll go. And then I said, I'll never go back there again. But they invited me again, and they invited me again, and they invited me again. Those invitations changed my life. Because eventually I went, and I never stopped going. Somebody invited you to church. Who will we invite? It could change a life. Last night at the outreach at the Meadows, a woman came up to me and she said, I was a classmate of some so-and-so. She said the name of a person in our church who's passed away. And she said, I so appreciate what Living Waters Church did for her. But I was a classmate of hers. I loved her. And I said, well, her seat's vacant. I said, I remember the first time she came. There was a first time. I said, you could come for a first time. God met her. He'll meet you. We want to make invitation a part of our culture. We don't suffer in the way Paul did. Paul said, bringing many sons to glory through suffering. I mean, we have it so easy in the United States. But it does take effort. It takes some energy on our part to be involved in helping draw others to Christ. Operation Christmas Child takes money. The New York City trip took money. It took time. It took time off work. It took effort. It's hard to ride in that van for all that time down there. Going to Tanzania next year. It's a long trip to Tanzania, Africa. And it's dirty when you get there. The conditions aren't easy. Satan doesn't like us when we reach outside our comfort zone to bring someone. He doesn't like it. It takes support to see missions happen and missionaries go. So I understand inviting people takes courage. But it's a part of it. We've got to get connected to the heart and passion and love of God to see sons and daughters join his family. When Paul ministered, he thank you. God, amen. He didn't talk about his sufferings much, But he talked about the concept. One point, though, he gave a little glimpse of some of his sufferings. He was going all over the place to share Jesus with people. He encountered real hardships, not like our little hardships. He talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Denise, I'm going to start in verse 24. No, I'm sorry, I'll start in verse 23. He says, I speak as a fool, I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 3 times shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils of the Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, sleeplessness often, hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. His motivation was not fame. His motivation was bringing sons and daughters to the Father. And so we have to be willing to make some effort and undertake some hardship to be a part of this, to be intentional. The kinds of encounters these folks had was out of being intentional, putting themselves in a position where that could happen. Those 4 words, bringing many sons to glory, but I want to focus on 4 of them for a second, just take that phrase apart and then put it back together. Bringing. If you're going to bring something, you got to carry it. You got to give some effort. If we're going to bring many sons to glory, we got to do something. We got to bring them. Many means we don't discriminate by gender or economic status or race or any other factor. We're going to scatter the seed and let God breathe on it and water it and bring fruit. Sons, God wants fathers and sons. We've talked about that. And glory. Glory talks about the character of God. God wants to bring many to glory. That means he wants to transform them from what they were to something more like Jesus Christ. So God's purpose and passion is sonship. His process involves effort and hardship. And 3, God's vision is for all the nations to hear from us. Psalm 2, verse 7 and 8. Says, I'll declare the decree the Lord has said to me. You are my son. This is the Father's word to the Son. You're my son. Today I've begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. This is the promise. This is a promise God the Father made to his son Jesus. Do you think that the Father is going to fulfill his promise to his son? Well, I'll let you know who his hands and feet are right now, and that's you and I. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. We're his body on the earth. This promise is twofold. It's to his son, Jesus, but it's also to his people. He wants to give the nations for our inheritance. We have to go to them. We have to go in person, or we go in giving, or we go in praying, but we have to go. Keith Green years ago had a song, and in it there was a line said, Jesus commands us to go. It should be the exception if we stay. Some will say, well, if God tells me, I'll go to the nations. He already said that. He said to go. So you can go in person, you can go in giving, you can go in praying for ministry to the nations, how about praying for North Korea right now? How about praying for the Middle East right now? How about sowing into the missionaries who minister in those places? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, yes, you're promised an inheritance of golden streets and pearly gates. Hallelujah. It's going to be gorgeous. But you're promised an inheritance more than that. If we'll be faithful to it, it's an inheritance of nations. There will be people in heaven from other nations, tribes, and tongues thanking you for praying, thanking you for giving, thanking you for going. Those that are saying, I'm going to go to Tanzania. There's going to be people saying thank you for what you're doing. We have had young people from this church, children that grew up in this church who are in the nations now. impacting the nations. I think of Tim Spaulding, who was in jail as a teenager and now is chairman of the board of Freedom 424, channeling resources around the world to battle sex trafficking and rescue girls and boys, for that matter, out of the sex trade. He grew up impacted here at Living Waters. Naomi Miller with Youth of the Mission. They're reaching out to the South Pacific. Laura Geist is back, although she's ill today, but she's back from the nations. I can prophesy right now, there's children from this church that are kids now that are going to be impacting nations. David Kimbrell, South Mexico, touching lives. All of Jesus' words, his actions, his personality, his way of dealing with things all reflected his relationship to his Father. His prayer life reflected an incredible sonship with the Heavenly Father, and it's an example to us. It reveals how a child relates to a father. And when we relate to our Father that way, we get a revelation of who we are in Christ and what he's put us here on this earth to do. To experience his love, his grace, his power. It's a lifestyle he's called us to. It is a position of sonship and daughtership, but it's a lifestyle of walking in faith that we're forgiven. That's what this communion table was about. That there's no hindrance between, there's nothing between us and God that keeps us from enjoying the peace, the joy, the love that the Father intended from the beginning when he created Adam and he created Eve. And he was the first face they saw. God's mission for us here at Living Waters Church is possible. But we've got to connect with him. We got to believe that he wants that for us to be a son or a daughter. And we got to resist every lie. You know, our brother talked about the regrets and the things that we're holding back from God. The enemy wants to do everything he can to keep you from a wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ. So I could have the altar ministry teams come. The Father wants a family of sons and daughters. Lori, come on. Sandy and I have received an invitation that we're trying to work out the timing of to take nation to nation that we do here at Living Waters and take it to Papua New Guinea. Someone was telling us about how dark it is there and how untrained all the Christian leaders are. And I'm thinking, man, nation to nation would be perfect. So the guy that created it said, so first of all, someone told us about who is taking all kinds of support and Christian training to Papua New Guinea. And then the guy who created Nation to Nation said, that would be perfect. There's been dozens of Nation to Nation schools started in third world countries all over the world. He said, I can't think of anybody better to take it to Papua New Guinea than somebody who already has two kids in Australia right across the water from them. So we're praying about how to spend some time with our kids and then take Nation to Nation to a country that's craving everything Jesus. The Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea has recently declared that it's a Christian nation. He's dedicated the nation to Jesus Christ. He wants all the spiritual stuff, the spiritism, he wants it all gone. He's taken down the totem poles from around the capital. I don't want that stuff anymore. I want Jesus. And the parliament's on board. They want everything Jesus. They got a long way to go, but they want it. So we're praying about how and when. But the nations has an inheritance. Tanzania has an inheritance. Mexico has an inheritance. The South Pacific. I want to give you the nations. I want to give you Leroy. I want to give you Genesee County. I want to give you this area, this region. I want to give it as an inheritance. I want to bring many sons to glory. Do you hear the Father's heart today? Let's stand and pray. There's a simple sign up right out in the lobby right now. Can you help at the Winterfest just to help make the Hope Center, to build connections in the community? See what God might do to bring this community together around Jesus Christ. What do you have to do? Play games with kids. That's a start. Let's close our eyes. How many of you would say, whether it's giving, going, or praying, I want an inheritance in the nations. I want to be a part of God, fulfilling God's passion. Let me bring many, many sons and daughters to glory. Whether it's in Leroy, New York City, California, Tanzania, Papua New Guinea, Europe, post-Christian Europe. Lord, however you want me to be a part of this, God, we just let that be your prayer right now to him. Just talk to him. As someone said earlier in the service, God wants us to talk to him more than we even want to talk. Word was, God, why aren't you talking to me? And he said, why don't you talk to me? Lord, let's talk to him now. Father, we want to hear your voice. We want your direction. We want you to help us focus our energies on this passion of yours, bringing many sons and daughters to that place of transformational relationship with your Son. Father, help us. I pray your help for everyone who's lifted their hand, who acknowledged you with a prayer right now. Lord, guide them, direct them. I thank you that you're going to release finances to them in ways they haven't expected. You're going to release time to them to be participating in things they haven't expected. You're going to bring information to them about places and ways they can go and make disciples and make relationships and encourage people, invite people. I thank you that you're going to bring connections this week. And you're going to bring back to their mind, invite them to church, invite them again. Come and see what the Lord is doing. Father, I just ask you, seal these things in the hearts of each of us today. I pray your provision. I feel like there's some anxiety brewing in some souls today. God wants you to know, be anxious for nothing, but lift up your concerns to him. Come on. Are you listening? Is there somebody here with some severe anxiety or worry about the future? Worry about the next bills getting paid, not the Buffalo bills, the utility bills. God's saying, lift them up to me. I've got this. He's saying, I've got this. Trust me. Walk with me. Look to me. Lean on me. God wants you to know he's with you in the decision making right now. He's with you in the decision making. I don't know what that means, if it's job related, if it's family related, what it might be, but he's with you. Lean on him at this crossroads with all your heart. He'll guide you, he'll show you, he'll confirm his will for you, he'll provide for you. He's going to speak to you. Father, I just thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the exhortation to live and take our place as sons and daughters of the living Most High God. Thank you for your inheritance that you've promised us. I ask your protection and blessing this week, this Thanksgiving week, as people traveling to see families. Lord, I just thank you for angels watching over. Thank you for angels going before travelers and keeping the road clear of hazards and watching over vehicles. And thank you for your grace, your blessing. I pray for family situations. Some of those difficult relatives that we'll be with over the next week or so. Lord, I pray just that the joy of the Lord be our strength and a grace to serve others in the family in a way that breaks down walls. You believe God for that? Maybe none of you have any difficult relatives, and it's just me. Amen. God bless you. There's a refreshments in the back. Don't let yourself walk out the door if you've got something you really would like someone to pray with you about. Henry and Val are over here. If you felt like you need a word of encouragement, Sherry and Phyllis over here would love to lay hands on you and just minister to you prophetically. Let them bless you. Thank you.